Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Many of us like to think we know our parents. They're the first people we know and who know us, especially through our younger years of life. So it's a common experience to start seeing our parents with new eyes as we grow into adulthood, and for some, become parents ourselves. That process can be a positive and quite wonderful thing. For Danny Jacobs, who grew up in St. Louis, the story is different. Danny's father, Richard Jacobs, was a complicated man. Those complications presented as obsession, legal harassment, and manipulation. Richard Jacobs died in St. Louis in 2015, but his son Danny is now investigating his complicated life and how he managed to destroy almost everything he touched. That journey is told in a new podcast, How to Destroy Everything. After its first episode debuted almost exactly 1 year ago, I sat down with Danny and his childhood best friend turned co-host, Darren Grodsky. Since then, the series went into a kind of hibernation, releasing one more episode, even as it gained a lot of attention from fans of true crime and bizarre stories. The series is making its grand return this week, releasing its first episode in nearly a year. I began by asking Danny and Darren to tell us how they met each other while growing up in St. Louis.
Well, boy, you're taking me back to my youth when I met this fella, Danny Jacobs.
We Rapscallion.
I rue the day. I rue the day. We were students at Belle Reve Elementary School in Creve Coeur.
Go Roadrunners.
Roadrunners forever. And Danny and I would say that we were drawn to each other. I'd like to say it was because of our cool factor, but I think in fact it was because of our shared intellectual interests.
Sure.
Am I trying to couch the phrase nerd?
Yeah. You can just say it.
So we were drawn together, along with a bunch of other friends from an early age, and we were friends all through the years, we had no idea that we were going to go on to become writing and directing partners, but the friendship sustained through elementary school, junior high, high school, and even college. We went to different colleges, but ultimately reunited together in Los Angeles after college.
Okay. So, Danny, is that an accurate reflection of what you remember? What was it like to grow up here together?
Great question. She's trying to pit us against each other. Am I right?
I'm going to spill the beans.
Am I accurate?
Darren is a liar.
Oh, my God.
No, that's basically right. We met. I don't remember the exact day or moment that we met.
No, me neither.
It would have been somewhere in first grade. Basically, as we were growing up, we started kind of partnering up almost immediately for like any academic group project, essentially. In particular, instead of just doing like a paper or a presentation, we would inevitably turn it into some kind of video filmic kind of thing where we would rip off Mel Brooks or whomever, Monty Python. So that in that way, we developed our creative sensibilities together growing up.
Well, a part of that, the creative, is also what you have shared insofar as experience goes. And that brings us right to this podcast. Darren, for you, when you first met Danny's father, do you remember what you thought of him? Did you have any idea that he was the man that you were exploring in the podcast?
Well, I think I must have been about 6 years old when I first met him. So I don't know that here's what I'll say. My parents actually went to high school with Danny's dad. They all graduated together from U City. I think it was immediately clear to me, even as a kid, that Danny's dad was, let's say, different. Mm-hmm. And I remember my parents would describe him with the phrase that he's not all there. And that euphemism really like stayed with me as the kind of thing that Now, in retrospect, I realize we didn't have the language to talk about, narcissism or any kind of mental illness, really, when I was a kid growing up, in the 80s and 90s in St. Louis. But I mean, I definitely had a number of experiences as a kid that registered as odd. At the same time, that was Danny's dad. And I just kind of took him at face value. And I didn't really think a lot about it with a sense of judgment or, concern for his mental health. I just said, well, that's just his dad, and it's an odd situation.
Well, and I think the other thing is, and Darren, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but like, we were just talking about this the other day, that when you're a kid, you don't, I didn't really sort of spill the beans. I didn't really talk a lot about what was happening.
Yeah, Danny and I never really talked about it. But, it would be the kind of thing where we were in a bowling league together every Friday, Brunswick.
As cool kids.
And Danny's, I always knew when Danny was with his dad, because his dad didn't park in a parking space in the parking lot. His dad would park up on the kind of sidewalk right in front of the bowling alley, like in front of the doors. That's where his car would be. Okay. And so I would just, there's little things like that I would talk about with my parents and be like, oh, Richard, there he goes again. Yeah. It was that kind of an attitude.
Okay. At which bowling alley are we talking about? Is it still
around? It would have been the Brunswick Bowling Alley.
It used to be called Brunswick Four Seasons. I don't know what it is now.
It was on Olive
and 141.
And 141. Ah,
okay. I think I know which one you're talking about. So, yeah. I mean, Danny, with all of that, I mean, what was it that made you, as an adult, want to investigate your father?
Well, several things. First of all, to be honest, need is a strange word to say, but like, I couldn't do this when he was alive. I had to wait until he passed away, partly because of a fear that I would get sued, partly because of a fear that of just like the chaos that he might create in my life. But the real motivation was that, I'm a father now. I've got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And as I am trying to process the trauma from my childhood and understand it, it's taken on a greater importance as I've started to think about my own parenting and also, a lurking concern, like, is there an aspect of who my dad was that I have? Is mm-hmm. there an aspect of who my dad was that is somewhere in my own children? And so it's really an urgent desire to kind of understand him and everything he was.
Well, and something else that Danny and I have talked about a lot in this process and as we were diving in, because, I as his friend have had some concerns going into this, that this is going to be not actually helpful for Danny, but also, alternatively, painful.
Sure.
And,
those aren't mutually exclusive.
No, they are not. But one question we both have as we, we're in the process of making the podcast, so this is as yet unresolved. But, when we talk about his dad, and we have always talked about his dad as a person and as a character, a lot of it is negative, obviously. There's a lot of pain there. But we wonder whether or not Danny, on some level, needs to find some empathy for his dad in order to really heal. I don't know what the answer to that is, but it's a question that has, I think, driven us so far in this process.
Mm-hmm. Now, you both are film guys, as we've been mm-hmm. talking about, and this podcast, it includes some very vivid, dramatic recreations. Let's take a listen to one of those scenes. This dialogue is the very first thing we hear in the first episode, and it's you, Danny, reenacting a real conversation you once had with your then fiance and now wife.
Sorry, can we just go through it again?
Sweetie, we've gone through it like a million times.
I know. I just... One more time, please. I'd feel better.
Okay.
Okay. When's your birthday?
Change the subject.
What's the name of your best friend from high school?
Oh, gosh. I had so many, it's hard to pick just one.
And where do you bank?
You really think he'll ask that?
Honey, do you have any idea what will happen if you slip up here, if you give him one iota more than he needs?
Well, yeah, you said he might, sleuth or whatever. But so
no, no,
what?
No. Not just sleuth, okay? You give him your birth date and phone number, and he'll find out your social security number. Next thing you know, he's opened up bank accounts in your name. He's buying real estate using your credit score. He's making photo collages, celebrating events he's not even supposed to know about. And not just that. He's hacking into your phone, listening to our conversations, reading your emails, and for some ungodly reason, he's sending you jade plants every single year for your birthday. And if and when you decide to do something about any of this, if you decide enough is enough and you ask him to back off or God forbid you call the authorities, he will sue you into oblivion. As a lawyer, he will represent himself, forcing you to spend your life savings on attorneys. And in court, he will reference arcane British case law and submit literally thousands of motions to delay and obstruct. And you will end up not only penniless, but emotionally bankrupt. So, I'm gonna ask you this again. Are you sure you're ready to meet my dad?
Those are the voices of Danny Jacobs as himself and Roxanne Ortega as Danny's fiancé, now wife, as heard in the opening minutes of the new podcast, How to Destroy Everything. Danny, talk with us about that moment. Why did you decide to show us that scene in the opening of this podcast?
We were looking for a way to try to introduce the breadth and scope of who my dad was. That could be kind of encompassing of all the different ways that he would kind of wreak havoc. And that was based on a real conversation that I had with my wife when I tried desperately to try to prepare her for the human that she was about to meet.
Yes, just to chime in, I mean, sad to say, I wish that that were fictionalized and the encounter that followed was as well, but no, it all really happened.
Yeah, so we decided to start there because it really felt like, and it felt like a way to truly encapsulate him and also to introduce sort of me as sort of a character, if you will, in this, going on this journey.
We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. We're listening back to my 2023 interview with the creators of the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. Its subject is the late St. Louis attorney, Richard Jacobs, who after his death left behind a trail of pain, lawsuits, and unanswered questions. His son, Danny Jacobs, along with his childhood best friend, Darren Grodsky, are the creators of the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. Last year, the pair began investigating Richard Jacobs and the way he hurt so many people. I spoke with Danny and Darren last year after the release of the show's first episode. Since then, the two have continued their investigation. The show's next episode comes out tomorrow. Before the break, we were getting to know Danny Jacobs' father, Richard Jacobs. I asked Danny to describe some of the things that he did that led to so much destruction in his life.
Ooh, wow. Where do I begin? One of the things that we're going to be covering in the podcast, all the different areas of his life that essentially he destroyed from his career. My dad was a lawyer in the Securities and Exchange Commission. He got fired for accessing a classified database. He then got disbarred from the Missouri Bar Association for stealing documents from a federal courthouse. And then in terms of his marriage, in terms of litigation, a detail that we mentioned in the first episode of the podcast is when my mom finally separated from my dad, she got a call from a woman who was part of a support group in St. Louis. And it wasn't like a marriage support group. It was a support group comprised solely of people who had been sued by my father.
Yes, this support group was active and meeting on the regular. They apparently had a newsletter. It's a wild.
And so through litigation, he really kind of affected a whole lot of people throughout the St. Louis region. And then not to just mention, of course, you know, my family and the various ways, you know, after my parents got divorced, the child custody hearing went on for, I don't know, a decade.
And Danny's dad represented himself and, you know, did things like cross-examining Danny, his own son, on the witness stand.
Wow.
And my mom actually, you know, she was sort of, it was bleeding her dry in terms of finances. So she switched careers to become a paralegal just so that she could do some of that work herself. So just the concentric circles of destruction here are really, there's a lot of them.
At the same time, I have to add, there's a lot that's kind of remarkable on the other side about Danny's dad as well. You know, he won a U.S. Supreme Court case.
In 1981.
1981, which we will get into as well. And in some ways was truly, you know, I don't know, a genius level. I mean, just like a remarkably intelligent man. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when we're mining through all this material, I'm struck by just what a tragic waste of talent and intellect and energy his life was. And obviously that's not to say anything for all of the destruction that he wrought as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that both sides existing together, not in isolation, is what really makes this such a human and relatable sort of story, even if it is extraordinary, you know, in a lot of different respects. Now, episode one is now out. What has the reaction been to it?
It's been fascinating, to be honest. We put out that episode just us, sort of, and as well, I should say, the third kind of wheel of our team is Joel Peisig, who is a producer and sound designer and editor on the project. His company Aileron Films is been really fantastic.
Yes, we would be remiss to mention that Danny and I, this is our first foray into podcasting. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not our medium, and so Joel is. We're lucky to have him. Yeah, he's an incredible part of the team.
But so the three of us kind of put it out there, not knowing what to expect. And we started to get all these messages from people on Instagram. We also set up an email address, which is iknowrichardjacobs@gmail.com, if anybody wants to reach out to us that way. But we're also hearing little things. You know, I had somebody reach out to me and was like, I saw your dad at Schnucks Grocery. The last time I saw your dad was at Schnucks Grocery, and he was just eating directly out of the salad bar. So
and that makes sense.
Yeah, that
makes sense.
Tracks.
Even beyond that, you know, I've heard from people in my extended family and beyond who are, they didn't know Danny's dad, but they are relating to some of the stuff that Danny had to deal with. You know, people, my sisters are hearing from friends, like I'm hearing from people I haven't heard from in a long time who have stories of their parents or uncles or whatever who displayed some of the same narcissistic behavior that Danny's dad exhibited. Not exactly the same, but it's sort of shocking to me how far-reaching this kind of behavior is among people.
Yeah. Well, and before the moment escapes us, that Instagram message that you received that led to someone who's much too young to have known your father personally was someone who heard your podcast and, you know, lives in your childhood home, Danny.
When we first moved in, all we thought was that we had just moved into a newly renovated house. Which was true. I'm sure you wouldn't even recognize the house now. But it was much more than that, and one thing they didn't renovate was the attic. My dad went up there for the first time when we moved in and found monitors and computers and wires lining the walls. Aluminum foil was everywhere. It was clear that Crazy Jacobs, the man we were told story after story about, was an extremely smart and sketchy man. Right now, I'm 20 minutes into your pilot episode, and I'm more intrigued than I have ever been.
And that was the Instagram message sent by 16-year-old Chloe Lancaster to the creators of the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. The message was performed by the niece of your podcast's third producer creator, we talked about earlier, Joel Pisick. Now, Darren, the next episode, it's coming out very soon, and it focuses on your return to Danny's childhood home. What can you share with us about that that isn't going to be in the episode itself?
Well, I can say, first of all, that the episode there was so much material that we got on that return, and in just sort of revisiting the house, that it ends up being a two-part episode. It just was larger than we could even fit into one episode. And I think that one of the revelations for me that I don't know that we'll get into in the podcast is just how much of a kind of a center of gravity that house was in terms of Danny's dad's various pathologies and Danny's childhood trauma. It really is... Danny's dad and mom bought it in the late 70s. Danny's dad lived there until he died. And it was kind of he tinkered with this house. He, as you'll hear, kind of terrorized the neighbors, and Danny was kind of a prisoner there. So it really was, to walk back in that place now as an adult with all of that knowledge was a pretty emotional experience for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the little details maybe that we could share about that was that in the basement of the house, we learned that my dad had a sort of a command center set up that could accommodate close to 60 telephone lines.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We're not 100% sure what all of those might have been for. But he had wired it such that he would be able to use up to 60 different telephones.
That is, imagining sort of old films and like a room full of operators, and yet it's just your father.
It's just him.
In the basement.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Danny, whether it's film or real life or podcasts, sometimes the destination isn't where you end up. I mean, do you have any fear about what you might eventually learn about your dad? Or is there anything that you, as the grown-up Danny Jacobs who carries the kid Danny Jacobs with you, like anything that you're hoping to find?
That's
a great question, by the way. That's a fantastic question.
To answer your question, yes, I have fear. I am terrified of what we're doing. I feel like I don't know where this is going. I don't know how it's going to affect me. I don't know how it's going to affect my family. I just know that, I was saying to somebody recently that, like, for me, this podcast is how I have the courage to try to face all of this. I wouldn't be able to do this otherwise if I wasn't doing it in this form. And I know that that's a weird thing to say because I'm choosing to do it in this public way. But for us, for artists, that is the way that gives us courage. And so that is what is fueling my bravery here.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that as Danny's friend for literally decades, we have talked about and dug into this trauma through this podcast so much more than we ever had before as friends, that it's almost comical to me. I think Danny's right. Like, as artists, in some ways we're cowards in our lives. Like but the art is what gives us the bravery to really examine ourselves and hopefully grow.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of where it's going to go, I mean, I don't know. As Darren said, there's a part of me that kind of hopes that I find some empathy for my dad. I don't know if that's going to happen, to be honest. I don't know. And that's both exciting for us as we're kind of putting this together in real time, and also just, one of the more terrifying things I've ever done.
That was Danny Jacobs, along with his childhood best friend, Darren Grodzki. They are the co-hosts of the podcast How to Destroy Everything. the podcast has been on break for most of the last year. Last week, its creators sat down with our producer, Danny Wisentowski. They talked about the long pause between episodes and what their listeners can expect when the show returns later this week.
We actually left our audience on quite a cliffhanger in which I was about to go back to the Royal Manor and revisit this house of horrors where Danny had grown up with his narcissistic father. By the way, as a sidebar, the next episode is one that we've been sitting on, obviously, for quite some time, and I cannot wait for people to listen to what happened when I went back into that house. Danny was with me virtually from Los Angeles, but I actually was in the house and met a bunch of the neighbors who had lived there ever since Danny's dad lived there, and even Danny was there. And it is kind of an extraordinary, unexpected sidebar that we had not planned in the making of this podcast. Now, in terms of the feeling that I hope people have about this podcast is, you know, we kind of went into this knowing that we were going to tell the story of Danny's narcissistic father and his very tumultuous childhood. What started to happen and what we didn't realize we were going to be doing is hearing from a lot of people who either knew Richard Jacobs and had stories about them, or had people like Richard Jacobs in their own lives. And the other thing that was really unexpected is we didn't know what kind of effect this was going to have on Danny now in the present, other than just sort of, you know, revisiting and trying to understand his father. The journey that we've gone on, and something the audience can expect, is a really, I would say, tumultuous and bumpy ride for Danny in the present. One that I hope will be ultimately positive, but one that has definitely been interesting and challenging.
And the other thing I would add to that, though, and I think is really a key to the show and how Darren and I are approaching this material is that we don't want it to be a downer, though. You know, this show, we want it to feel like my childhood felt, which was really toggling back and forth between tragic pathos. That's certainly a part of it, but also laughing at the absurdity of it. You know, there's a comedy, a dark comedy in there that is partly how I survived. And I think is really baked into the DNA of the show as well.
So Danny, I think that is kind of where I wanted to just follow up. This is very personal for you. And I think I've sensed it's gotten even more personal since last we talked and the last time you talked to us about this on the show. Does it feel like you've learned more about your father for the worse?
Well, yes. The answer to your question is yes. I mean, we have talked to people whose lives were just decimated by him. You know, people that he took to had a random encounter with him in an airport and then ended up in court with him for 10 years and their marriage was ruined because of the stress and they went bankrupt. I mean, you know, some big things that happened to people just because they happened to run into him and not capitulate to his unique energy.
Also, like Danny said, before you get into your personal story, Danny, which is very important, but sometimes, like Danny mentioned earlier, these encounters are not quite so dramatic, but are actually hilariously awkward. You know, they might not be 10 years in court, but they might be like, you know, we've heard from people who knew Richard, whether it was his dentist or just people who kind of like, you know, interacted with him on a semi-regular basis. And it's not always tragedy. Sometimes it's just absurd and hilarious. And we're excited to share those stories too.
Yeah. But personally, I mean, it's been one of the challenges of this is me kind of finding a way to internalize and make sense of this man who I loved. That's important to note, despite everything, doing this kind of damage to this many people. And finding a way through that, trying to better understand my feelings towards him, has given all this new information that we've learned throughout the making of the show, is a big part of my journey. And structurally, we've altered the structure of the show to kind of reflect that. So the show is going to toggle back and forth episode to episode from like the past to the present and the past to the present. So that we can tell these two stories in parallel, both my dad and my mom, you know, going back, you know, 50 years, and then how it's all affecting me today.
That was St. Louis on the Air producer Danny Wisentowski. He spoke with Danny Jacobs and Darren Grodzki, the two co-creators and hosts of the podcast How to Destroy Everything.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering by Aaron Dorr.
And Danny Wisentowski.
Podcast design by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.